Hi, I'm Brian Kramer, Associate Editor with SearchCIOMidMarket.com. I'm here today with Stephen Cobb to talk to you about anti-spam. Stephen, thanks for being here.
Good to be here, Brian.
Stephen's an adjunct professor of information assurance at Norwich University, Vermont, and president of Cobb Associates. Stephen, let's get right into it. First question, is spam really a threat to the mid-market company? It is a nuisance, but where's the risk?
Well, Brian, I think we've all had a problem getting our heads around spam as a risk or a threat. We tend to focus on server compromise, network penetration as, you know, a risk and a threat in this context. And you don't necessarily get that from spam. What you get from spam is theft of resources. And this, I found, is the best way to convey what spam is doing to everybody. It doesn't matter whether you're a consumer or a big company or a mid-market company. Spam is stealing resources, primarily network resources. If you are running your own email servers, then spam is eating up bandwidth. It's eating up server space. It's taking time and attention away from other things. Even if you're outsourcing your spam solution, you're paying money which could go to, I'm sure, much better things than handling spam. And even the consumer is paying a certain percentage of what they pay for their email services, their ISP services, because the spam problem is out there. It's consuming anything from 70 to 90% of all email at the moment. And, you know, that's a problem. Plus, spam has evolved in the last 3 or 4 years to be part of a whole sort of web of threats, from Trojan code, keystroke loggers, phishing. You know, phishing attacks use spam techniques. We have malicious code distributors using spam techniques, and it really has become quite a mess. One of the things that drives the distribution of Trojan code to compromise hosts is the desire to set up botnets, which can then be used for spamming. So it's become very messy, and it's certainly a threat to be taken seriously.
So it sounds like you started to touch on them, but what do you see as the trends in spam for the next 12 to 18 months? Do you see it letting up, or could it possibly get worse?
Well, I kind of make it a rule in security things not to make specific predictions, but I've never had much of a problem saying it's going to get worse before it gets better. There's seldom a situation where, you know, we see good things happening. Now, you could say, well, we've seen in the last couple of years a relative decrease in things like worms and viruses, but at the same time, we've seen an increase in Trojans. And in spam, we've seen an increase year on year. I think there was a report recently, 16% growth year on year, and that's as spam as a percentage of all email. So spam continues to outpace the growth of email in general. And estimates of how much of the total email out there is spam do vary from 70 up to 90%. We're certainly not coming down. You know, we're not seeing spam letting up. And I think we have to look at economic factors, because spam is a very interesting threat from a computer security point of view in that it's driven primarily by money. You know, we grew up with things like viruses, which were really written originally for bragging rights and for just, you know, malicious intent. There's actually a financial motive behind spam, and that motive gets stronger when times get tough. You know, spam, as I've said many times, is a fool's game. There are people who do make money with spam, but there's a lot of people who think they can make money with spam that drive the continual growth. So when times are tough, people are desperate for money, people are more likely to try spamming as a way to make money. It's a get-rich-quick scheme for a lot of people. So, you know, the traffic in email lists to spam is strong because people still think there's a chance of getting through, and all it takes is, you know, one in 100,000 messages to get a hit, and you can make money off spam. So I think it's not going to get any better, and the kind of dark side of it in terms of phishing schemes, in terms of attempted theft of personal information through Trojan code. I think that's going to get stronger. One of the problems is that as Internet service providers crack down on spammers, that's forcing them to go underground. And that is one of the things that's leading to the rise in botnets, you know, compromised computers that people can send spam through without getting any approval.
So what anti-spam strategies do you recommend for mid-market CIOs, bearing in mind that there's generally no room in the budget for costly or complex solutions?
Right. Well, I think you've got to break the solutions down right now into either outsourcing or in-house. And you've got pluses and minuses on both sides. And it's going to probably depend on what kind of company you are. If you're a very technical company, if you're in the high-tech sector, and you've got in-house resources that can manage servers and run code and do that sort of thing, then an in-house solution might be the best way to go. There are some very good commercial filters. There are some very good open source filters. The tools are there to build internal solutions that can do a pretty good job of filtering out spam and even blocking spam. And those are two different things. Your spam filters would just crash if they had to filter every message one by one. So you're going to be implementing a set of blacklists or block lists to keep out known bad senders. Then you're going to have a whitelist that's going to keep an updated list of people who are okay to come through so that you don't lose important messages from customers and key relationships. And you're going to combine those things together, and you can probably do pretty well running that in-house. But if you're not a technical company, then it's probably going to be quite attractive at this point to look at outsourcing, because these services are now widely available from reputable companies. And basically, you're either going to have all your mail go through somebody else's servers, the outsourcing company is going to do the filtering and the blocking and so on for you. They're going to send you the clean mail. And then your alternative to that in outsourcing is to have somebody actually run your servers or the filtering on your servers from outside. Because when a company specializes in anti-spam, it's going to know probably much quicker than you about new spam attacks, about the new types of spam. For example, we saw a big uptick in the last 12, 18 months on image spam. People realized, gosh, if we just send an image with our product in it, that will be hard for the spam filters to find because they can't really look at the picture. Then we saw some PDF spam. And so if a company is specializing in anti-spam, they're going to know about that stuff quicker than probably your system can learn. But you can tap into their knowledge through some of the products that are there. I think, there's a certain amount of concern, I think, about outsourcing email in terms of, it's your mail, do you want somebody else to read it? But I think these companies that are providing outsourced email, the larger companies, the more reputable companies, I don't think that's a risk. I mean, it's their business, and if they were ever found to be reading somebody else's email, it wouldn't be very good for their business model. And in fact, a lot of the spam is weeded out before any content is even looked at, because they know from headers, they know from the IP address what is spam and what is not.
So it sounds like outsourcing is an option that mid-market CIOs could adopt if they felt the need. But what do you see as the potential risks in outsourcing the spam problem, if any at all?
Well, I think the risks are probably less now than they were. The industry has matured quite nicely. You obviously want to do due diligence. You want to get references from people. And cost is going to be an issue. But in terms of, the threat that I talked about earlier in terms of privacy issues and confidentiality issues, I don't think that is a big problem. I mean, if you found it to be a problem, you would stop using their service and those companies would be in a great deal of trouble. I don't see that as a major risk. One of the risks, or one of the downsides to outsourcing, but also really with an internal system, is falsely attributing something to being spam. You know, there are false positives where something is blocked which shouldn't be, and if that part of the process isn't working well, where a questionable message is put into quarantine, an employee still has to check whether or not it's spam, you're not going to make the gains in productivity that you might otherwise make. I mean, and I wouldn't say that's necessarily an outsourcing versus in-house issue, but, you know, you have to realize that even when you get a spam solution, either inside or outside, there are going to be quarantine issues where messages still have to be looked at as suspected spam, and you're going to have some messages which don't get through that you wanted to get through. And that's probably one of the areas of performance that I would look at very closely with any solution is, you know, how am I going to make sure with this solution that important messages come through, particularly in areas like new clients, where you're getting your first email from somebody and you don't yet know they're a trusted connection. How's the solution going to handle that? So, you know, can you whitelist people very easily to make sure their messages come through?
That's great, Stephen. Last question for you. Back in 2004, Bill Gates said spam would be solved by 2006. Is there an end game for spam that CIOs are going to come across? Will CIOs always have this burden on their resources? Is it going to be an ongoing risk like viruses and other malicious code?
Well, I do think that the world missed a great opportunity back in around 2003. Actually, almost exactly 5 years ago, the Federal Trade Commission hosted an anti-spam summit, and there was a movement in the industry to adopt changes to email protocols. Now, SMTP, which, you know, is the backbone of email, we can't get rid of. It's not like we could come up with a completely new protocol that would get adopted worldwide. But the end game for spam is generally agreed enhancements to SMTP, possibly domain keys. There are some other options out there. But if those were adopted fairly universally, it would be possible, in a sense, to completely sideline spam. You know, spam and other email-borne attacks really depend on you not being able to find the person who's doing it to prosecute them. You know, we passed laws a long time ago, CAN, Spam Act, and so on, to make it illegal. It's just very hard to find people. So if you introduce through some authentication process a way to identify the sender more reliably than current SMTP allows, then I think that would cut down on a lot of spam. And, you know, I think one thing I would do, CIO in the mid-market, is whenever I get a chance, I'd kind of pipe up to industry groups, to conferences and so on. You know, what are you as an industry going to do about it? If you took the big five email providers, got them together, and they agreed to institute these changes, they would have the ability to push that through to everybody else. It really wouldn't be that expensive either for companies that are using outsourced email or if you're doing email in-house. It wouldn't be that much more work to implement something like that relative to what you would save. I mean, one solution that I've seen that's very interesting is something called an anti-spam router, which doesn't actually filter spam. It actually blocks it, slows it down to where the spammer goes on to hit somebody else. And when you put something like that into the network stream, companies find that something like three-quarters of their stream is actually spam. A lot of companies don't realize how much it's being chewed up. And if you think of what resources could be reclaimed by introducing some sort of change to the email protocol, I think the benefits would much outweigh the cost. You know, but I'm not holding my breath for that to happen. We came close about 5 years ago, and there's been discussions on and off ever since. But in the meantime, I think, you know, if I was a CIO in a mid-market company, I wouldn't sort of hold my breath for that. I would be putting in place a solution right now and hoping that some point down the road I'd be able to save money when, you know, spam was eradicated.
Stephen Cobb, that's great stuff. Thanks for being with me today.
My pleasure, Brian.
For more information on anti-spam, spam trends, and the latest news and advice for CIOs in the mid-market, visit us online at searchciomidmarket.com. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you soon.